I invite you now to hear the familiar story once again of the birth of Jesus as told by Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was a descendant from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Reverend May, for reading our gospel lesson this evening. I'm just going to say this now because I've said this too many times to others. Good morning. It is great to see you here this morning. And it's like, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. But it is wonderful to see you here as we gather this evening for worship, as we gather on this Christmas Eve to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. I appreciate your presence, being part of the celebration that we have had here at St. Paul's. It began really on Sunday morning with our All Music Sunday and the amazing services of worship that were held here in the sanctuary. And then last night we had our Christmas in New Orleans. The Paul Keller Band was here. Shelley Colling from our praise team sang. Ramona Collins from Toledo was part of the group that sang powerful, powerful worship as we celebrated Jesus' birth, a little New Orleans style. This space, which is a kudos to our cleaning team, was also the site for our 4 p.m. children's Christmas pageant. Lots and lots and lots of energy. You might still feel some of that energy from the children still emanating through the sanctuary too, but a wonderful celebration of telling that story and having children tell us the story of the birth of Jesus. Our service at 7:30, Olivia Millishan provided some special music, and we gather to light candles and to give thanks for the birth of Christ. And that crescendo leads us to this time together as we celebrate close to midnight, but not yet midnight, celebrating Christmas Eve becoming Christmas Day and the birth of the Son of God, Jesus Christ among us, God with us. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, and the one indeed who is born among us and the one who is with us even now. Amen. Amen. And so we come to this Christmas Eve, we come to this time anticipating a promise kept, anticipating the work of God in the midst of a holy moment of incarnation in Bethlehem in the manger. And yet on the other side, a very ordinary thing. I imagine when the shepherds were told by the angels, you need to find a baby, they probably said, well, which one? There are lots of babies in Bethlehem. In fact, we can hear some of them crying right now in the night, you know? But the sign, although ordinary, spoke to something and to someone extraordinary. In this moment, the divine is birthed into our reality. I am always struck by the power of the incarnation of Christmas Eve, because I'm awed by the fact that God loves us so much that God wanted to enter into this experience of humanity, our vulnerabilities, our living and our dying. That God could think of no better place to be than to be here with us, out of love for us, out of a desire to be with us in the midst of our lives. This is the gift of Christmas. It is the gift of Jesus. It is the birth of Jesus, because that birth is not the end of the story. That birth is but a beginning of a journey, of a life journey of Jesus, his life, his death, and his resurrection, his teachings, his miracles, everything that pointed us to drawing us once again to God, creating an opportunity for us to follow in his life, in his way, and to be bearers of that same love, to experience the power of the forgiveness of sins, of a reconciliation with our relationships, to feel the power of God at work in us, accepting us and welcoming us for who we are, and anticipating all that we could be and can be through the gifts that God has given us. Through Jesus, that door is a possibility, opens for us. We become, with our identity, the children of God, the brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. We are, as the gospel writers tell us, we are the beloved. God looks at us and calls us by our name, not our brokenness. God comes to heal and to mend our brokenness. No, God calls us by our name. When it came time to name this baby, the angel said this is what his name would be. You shall call him Jesus, the angel told Joseph, the one who saves. Or as Isaiah says, he is Emmanuel, God with us, the one who chooses to be among us. Isn't that amazing? I don't know about you, but I'm not always the best person to be around 24/7, 365. I've got some high points and I got some low points. But God says, I want to be there with you through all of it. That's love. That's love. A God who says, I want to be there when things are the worst to let you know that you are never alone. That you are never by yourself. And a God who is with us in those mountaintop moments saying, this is a good thing. Enjoy this journey. Don't let it go to your head. But enjoy this moment of blessing, of potential, and of the joy of this time. A God who is willing to be there in the midst of each heartbeat, in the midst of each breath. A God who meets us even now right here in this sanctuary on this Christmas Eve, anticipating our reaction to his birth. And that's where I think the challenge is and the opportunity comes for those of us who follow Jesus Christ. It's we receive on Christmas this greatest gift of Jesus Christ. But yet our reaction to it, the thing that we are motivated to be, is to be the gift of Jesus for others. We become the ones who share this presence of Jesus, this presence of Jesus into the lives of those around us. We become bearers of that good news. Our own church over this last year we've been working on our strategic vision, and our ad board chair, David Yonker, and several others were part of a great team that met over the summer and into the fall to help us begin to craft language that in many ways became the writing of this message. How can we, as St. Paul's United Methodist Church, be the gift of Jesus for those around us? And part of it is, every Sunday morning, printed on our bulletin is a reminder. It simply says, no matter who you are or where you are in life's journey, you are welcome here. Because we know that God is already with you. God is already at work in your life. We believe that. And so we believe anyone who comes into our campus for worship, for small groups, for a mission project, that we know that God already loves them. And we want to live out. We want to be that gift of Jesus for them. We want to offer through our hospitality of everyone, our welcome of everyone, that indeed we see them as God sees them, as beloved sons and daughters of God, as beloved brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. We also have stated this as a way of being that gift of Jesus to the world around us. We believe this. We believe that love changes lives, and therefore we are called to love all people as Jesus Christ loves us. Part of being the gift is sharing the gift, and it's love. It's that gift of love we receive from Jesus. It's then loving those around us, choosing to love, not to break apart or destroy, but choosing rather to love and to build up. We believe that worship is a celebration of God and one another, and our souls are nurtured through scripture, message, music, and prayer. We're experiencing it right now, the power of worship, and maybe on that list on this night, we can say the power of flame as well, how a candle lit can speak so much. It can be such a powerful metaphor of the presence of Jesus' love breaking through the darkness and shining light. We believe that service provides an opportunity to share God's love and compassion as demonstrated by Jesus Christ. We know that love is a verb. It's an action. And where we are and how we react, how we care for those around us, speaks to the power of the gift of Jesus in us, as that love of Jesus then works through us to help those around us. And lastly, we believe that spiritual growth is an ongoing journey. It's where we grow in faith with one another, intentionally living in grace and walking in love. It's recognizing within our own tradition that this is an ongoing process. We're always learning in our faith. We're always growing. We don't have all the answers. We're not done yet. But God's love at work in us and through us helps us to grow in our faith and further become those disciples that Jesus Christ has called us to be. When we choose grace, we become the gift of Jesus for those around us. When we choose love, we become the gift of Jesus for those around us. When we choose justice, we become the gift of Jesus for those around us. When we choose hospitality and inclusion, we become the gift of Jesus to those around us. When we choose forgiveness and reconciliation, we become the gift of Jesus for those around us. When we choose to accept people for who they are and not who we think they should be, we become the gift of Jesus for those around us. This is how we take what we have received in this amazing and holy story in Bethlehem and begin to embrace it and live it and allow it to lead us into the rest of our lives, into the rest of our living. Because this story doesn't end tonight. It doesn't end by a once of the year telling of the story. The power of the story is how it shapes us the rest of the year, how it impacts us and creates opportunities for us to impact the lives of others with good, with grace, with love, with peace, with reconciliation, things that the world is thirsting and starving for. We, because of the story, realize that we are a part of making things better. Not worse, but better. And I want to invite you to join us in that journey. I want to invite you to follow Jesus with us as we choose to become and be the gift of Jesus to those around us. I want to invite you to be a part of this community in doing so. And maybe for some you need to test drive us out a little bit. It's easy. Just come and be a part of how we are engaged in living out this love of Jesus even now. There's some great next steps that you can take. You can join us at the Baldwin Center in Pontiac as we help our neighbors in need in Pontiac, or the Rochester Area Neighborhood House. We have many volunteers through this church that are being the gift of Jesus by being active through the Neighborhood House and helping our neighbors in need in our very own community, or volunteering at Cass Community Social Services in Detroit and extending that same gift of Jesus to those in Detroit. You can also help by supporting and praying for our youth as they prepare to go to Puerto Rico in 2020 to continue the work, the ongoing, not done yet work of rebuilding from Hurricane Maria. They are going to be the gift of Jesus, and we are supporting them and praying them in that process to be that answer to the prayers of those in Puerto Rico. That is being the gift of Jesus. You can also volunteer in the life-changing week known as Vacation Bible School. You can join a small group. You can participate in worship consistently. You can begin to read Scripture each and every day. Be willing to learn something new. You can be willing to admit that you don't have all the answers. You can be willing to admit that you're not in charge. That can be hard sometimes, right? We like to think we're in charge. You can begin by praying daily, on a daily basis, to grow closer to God. Engage in that relationship. Talk to God and then listen. Listen for God's voice. Be intentional. It's so easy in our world. We can be so busy and so cluttered in our lives that God can become the last thing, last person that we think about. But carve out some time, especially if you've not done it in a while. Make some time. Put it in your calendar. Give yourselves an alert or a reminder and set aside. Maybe it's just 5 minutes. 5 minutes. In the midst of a crazy, busy day, I'm going to set that aside and say, God, I'm here. Help me to see you around me. And maybe as we continue those prayers, it becomes, help me to be a sign of your presence for those around me. Be willing to grow in your faith. Seeing what's the next area in your life that you can give to God to help you grow in your faith. You can be willing to give as generously as God has given to you. This is what makes Jesus' birth matter. This is what takes the story of Bethlehem and allows it to continue to speak into our lives, into the rest of this year and into 2020. It's our opportunity to say, Jesus, happy birthday. Thank you for being born into this world. Thank you for being born into our lives. Thank you for the privilege of each year of gathering again at this space in Bethlehem and saying, Lord, welcome. Welcome into my life again. This is a holy night. The divine has entered into human experience. Jesus has entered into our own lives, into our own world, and we're left with a decision. Will we leave him in the manger and his story? Or will we allow it to shape us, to mold us, to influence us, to impact us, to affect us? Will we allow his story into our story so that as people see us living, they will see Jesus in us, his grace, his peace, his welcome, and his love? That is who we are becoming here at St. Paul's United Methodist Church. And I invite you to be part of that journey. I invite you to be part of that good news even now. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, we thank you that on this most holy of nights, we can receive you once more into our lives, into our hearts. But God, thank you that we can also share your story with those around us. Help us as we receive your love to share your love, as we've been given your peace to share your peace, as we have received forgiveness to forgive. Help us, God, to be signs that you are here and that you are with us in this world even now. In your holy name we pray. Amen.